Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's give him a great big praise. We just honor him. We bless him. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for 2018. Lord, we want to thank you that this is the year you have created. This is the day that the Lord has made. And that you have divine purpose and strategy attached this year. And Father, we, Lord, even in this season, give birth to your purposes for this year. Lord, I just even sense it in the spirit that Lord, you have a will, you have a desire, but you need a people to give birth to that. So Lord, we're here to give birth to the purposes of God in the earth. And we thank you that you empower us and give us grace to do that. And we honor you for it, Lord. And we set our heart in agreement with you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, Lord bless you. You can be seated. It is such an honor to be with you this morning. I so appreciate Pastor David and Kathy having a confidence to have me come, or maybe they're just stupid. I don't know. No, I'm sure that was not true. Somebody says, where did you get this guy? But it is a great honor to be with you guys. And thank you again so much for having me here. I don't know how many years this has been in a row that I've been here. And I always enjoy coming because I know that this season in this house is dedicated to prayer. I mean, we always pray, but at the start of the year to give birth to prayer and moving into that area. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, I'm 59 years old. I know I don't look it. In fact, this year, 2018, I will be 60. So I'm old enough now to be able to look back and say, you know, that decision I made right there was really important. I didn't know how important it was when I made it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you that are a little older? I look back going, that decision I made, and what I'm thinking about this morning is that decision I made to become a man of prayer. That changed my life. I look back now decades later, and I realized that was probably, maybe, one of the, if not the most, one of the most important decisions I ever made in my life was to set my heart and set my face to pray. Because it has actually fashioned who I am, and it has unlocked so much, if not all, of what I get to do, that I don't believe I would be standing here if I had not have made that choice. So as I was praying this morning, I felt the Lord spoke a word to me about this house. And I want to give two scriptures before I actually go into the teaching. Psalms 84:11 is the first one. Is that going to come up? Because I don't have anything to read. So, okay. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And this is the part I really heard. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I just want you to know something. God says, I'm not withholding anything. He says, I am not the God of the shut hand. I'm the God of the open hand. Okay, God is the God of the open hand. And he is opening his hand to us. And he is saying for 2018, I'm not going to withhold anything from you. That as you walk uprightly before me, and we may touch that in just a moment, he said, I am going to release everything that is ordained for you, that is your portion, that is your purpose. I'm going to begin to release that in this year. No good thing will I withhold from those who walk uprightly. How many of you, that's a good word? That's a blessed word. Okay, the second word I heard as I was praying through that was Luke chapter 10, verse 42, and it's where Mary... where Martha is accusing Mary of not helping her. Remember that? She says to Jesus, why don't you tell her to help me? And he says, we know the statement, Mary, Mary, you're concerned about many things, but watch what he says to Jesus, but one thing is needed. It's necessary. And Mary, I love this, Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. See, what had she chosen? If you read the story, she had chosen to be at the feet of Jesus. She had chosen to be in that place of communion and fellowship and prayer with him. See, Jesus said, that's the good part. That's the good part. And I felt the Lord said to challenge you that this year, choose the good part. That right now in this year, make that choice. See, just like I made the choice decades ago, and many of you have made that same choice. Somebody says, well, you know, prayer is really not my thing. Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is able to make it your thing. Okay, he can actually shift things and change things so that it becomes the passion of your heart. You got to understand, it wasn't my thing either. It wasn't my thing, but as I just chose the good part, I chose the good part to be at his feet, God changed my heart. God changed the very essence of who I was so that now it's the passion of my life. Amen? Okay, so I want to just share those words. Okay, here's what I want to talk to you about this morning is praying the prophetic destiny you have into reality. You see, some people think that whenever God, a prophecy comes or there's a sense of what you were made for and God says, this is what I created you for, that it's just going to automatically happen. But I want you to understand, nothing could be further from the truth. See, there's these little bumper stickers sometimes that I used to read. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, I'm sorry, that's absolutely not true. You say, that's heresy. You're speaking here. No, I'm going to show you in Scripture that when there's a prophetic sense of destiny, when there's a prophetic word over your life, if you don't know how to pray it into reality, you're not going to get it. You're going to have to know how to lay hold of it. Here's what I tell people. When you get a prophecy, even though it's just a literal prophecy, when you get a prophecy, you just got a prayer agenda. You just received a prayer agenda to pray that thing into reality. And so let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Here's what Paul said to Timothy concerning his prophetic destiny. Here's what he said. He said, I charge you. He says, literally, I give you a mandate. I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that you by them might wage a good warfare. Watch what he says. He says, Timothy, I am declaring the mandate, the prophetic destiny and mandate over your life based on prophecies that have been spoken about you and over you. Watch this, that you would, on the basis of those prophecies, wage a good warfare. What does that mean? In other words, step into the conflict and cause the word of God that's been spoken over your life to become reality. In other words, he's telling Timothy, you're not going to get your destiny unless you war for it. You're not going to get your prophetic destiny unless you know how to pray it into being. So Timothy, based on the prophetic words, you got to step into the warfare. You got to step into the conflict. See, the worst thing we can do is get a prophecy and do nothing. Or have a sense of prophetic destiny and do nothing. God wants us to step into it. So destiny, what we were made for, is discerned through the prophetic. It's discerned through a prophet. Now, it can be somebody prophesying to us, but most often it's that we just sense something. I find so often that prophecy actually confirms what I already know. It's not so much directive, per se, even though it can be, as it's just confirming what I already know to be true, or maybe even giving me the boldness to go ahead and step into what I know God's actually said to me and about me. So Paul was telling Timothy, look, you got a lot of prophetic words over you, but if you're going to move into them, you're going to have to learn how to war according to them and with them for them to become a reality. Let me just give you this little thought, because some of you will relate to this. So often we get prophetic words, and instead of those prophetic words seeming to come to pass, they actually thrust us into conflict. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that. I remember years ago, there was this couple that brought a baby that they literally warred for, because the woman could not get pregnant. I mean, she was declared barren, but God did a miracle, and she ended up pregnant. And they brought this precious little baby, and they brought it to us. They were part of our church, and they said, "We want to dedicate this child." And so I took that child as a little infant, you know, just a few days old, took this infant in my arms, and I lifted it up, and I heard the Lord say, this child shall be a child of peace. Heard it clear as a bell. So I began to declare, the Lord says, this child will be a child of peace. That child ended up being diagnosed with autism and was anything but a child of peace. She would scream. She would yell. You know how sometimes that children that have those kind of conditions, if the least little thing's out of order, they just go ballistic. That's what she would do. And she would look and say, well, man, Pastor Robert must have missed that one. No, Pastor Robert hit the nail on the head. You see, the prophetic word over that child was peace. But there had to be a warring to bring that word into reality. They had to take that word and begin to war with it, because in the natural, it wasn't what was actually spoken. Does that make sense to you? So here's what I'm saying. You may look at your destiny and say, man, what I felt, what's been spoken about me, all these kind of things, boy, that nothing about it is actually happening. Oh, you're in a good place then. See, why? Because you have to war. You have to enter the conflict for those things to become reality. And I'm going to show you in just a moment that that conflict is actually in a place called the courts of heaven. It's in a different place than sometimes we think it is. And we need to know where that is so we can deal with the situations in prayer, so that every legal thing that's resisting what God has said from becoming reality can be moved out of the way, so I can come fully into the destiny God built me for. How many of you would like that for 2018? Lord, move us, not as an individual, as a family, as a church, as a business. Lord, move us into the prophetic destiny of God. You see, there's something in me that says, God, I want what I was made for. I don't want to live my life out. I may live to be 90 plus years old, but Lord, if I don't fulfill my destiny, what does it matter? There's a passion in me that his will would be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Okay, so let me give you some scriptures. The one I read to you here in 1 Timothy, but let me just give you some scripture that reveal a need to pray into being prophetic destinies, because they're in the Word. Let me show them to you. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. The children of Israel are in Babylonian captivity. And watch what it says. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel understands that they're coming up to the 70-year mark. So, you know, if we took the posture that sometimes the church takes, oh, 70 years is coming. I mean, we're about to get out of here. We're going back to Israel. We're going to go back and inhabit our land. It's over with. We've been here for 70 years. It's over with. But Daniel didn't do that. See, Daniel didn't think just because God said it that it was going to happen. He understood God had said it, but he knew that he had a part to play in it becoming a reality. So notice the next verse. It says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel understood that it is not an automatic, that literally the word that was spoken, that 70 years would be accomplished, and then they would go back to their land, that has to be prayed into being. It's not going to happen by itself. I have to step into the realm of the Spirit and pray this thing into being until it becomes a reality. That's why we have to kick into gear. It's absolutely essential, or we will let the years pass by, and not get what we were actually built for. Not move into what we were actually created for. And I love it. The things it mentions that Daniel did, he was serious. He understood, I have got to set my face. And I've got to step into the realm of the Spirit. And I've got to reorder the spirit realm by my prayers. Let me give you a little secret. This is what I believe. Prayer is not trying to convince God to do something for me. Prayer is stepping into a spiritual dimension and with God reordering the spiritual realm so heaven can come to earth. So what God has proclaimed can become reality in the earth. See, I'm not trying to convince God to do something. He already wants to do it. He needs for us to come into an agreement, earth to agree with heaven, for heaven to manifest in the earth. Okay, let me give you another scripture here. Ezekiel 36, 36 through 37. If you were to read the chapter of Ezekiel 36, you would find that God is making promise after promise after promise of restoration. In Ezekiel, Ezekiel is prophesying the restoration of Israel and the restoration of their destiny and of their purpose. And so notice in Ezekiel 36, 36 through 37, here's what he said. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Now, watch. You would think, well, if God says, I've said it, I'm going to do it. Okay, we're done. Wouldn't we? That's what I would think. I have spoken it, I'll do it. God's decided he's going to do it. I could just sit down and enjoy life. But notice what he says. He doesn't stop. Watch what he says. He says, thus says the Lord, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock. See, he said, I need, even though I've spoken it, even though I said I'm going to do it, I need for you to inquire of me, to pray, to set your face before me, to pray what I have spoken into reality. Are you getting this? This is the standard of God's word. God says, I need for you to step into the conflict. I need for you to move into this place and begin to become as passionate about your destiny as I am. And to be able to operate with me to be able to see these things become a reality. Let me give you one more scripture. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. It says, in this manner, we know this one, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. You say, well, what does that have to do with what you're saying? He's saying, reach into heaven and pull the will of God into earth. That's what that literally means. And really, that's not a request. It literally says in the Greek, will of God be done. It literally says, kingdom come, will of God be done. It literally is an aggressive declaration and decree of reaching into the realm of the Spirit and pulling heaven into earth. That's literally the phrasing here. But the idea is this, that even though God wants it, even though he has a will in heaven concerning us, we have to pull it into reality in the earth. Same idea, same principle. So Paul says to Timothy, as his son, I'm charging you, I'm giving you a mandate based on your destiny as has been revealed through the prophetic word. I'm giving this to you. So now, Timothy, according to those prophecies, war and fight and enter the conflict and bring what's been spoken into reality in your life. So I want to show you. I can tell you that and say, this is what we're supposed to do. But I'm the kind of guy that wants to say, okay, here's some keys to doing it. See, because I think I can challenge you with wanting to do it, but if we don't have some keys that we can grab hold of and say, okay, how do I do it? Then sometimes we get frustrated. So I want to just show you how to do it. I want to give you some simple keys to being able in 2018 praying prophetic destiny into reality. On your personal level, as a church, you know, whatever realm it may be, that God's going to use you to give birth to some things this year. So let me give you the keys. Let me give you some keys to prophetic praying prophetic destiny into reality. Number one, realize the conflict that we're in, fighting to bring the word into reality, is in a judicial arena. Now, this is what changed my life. And let me just for those of you that maybe haven't heard me teach, and those of you that have, Jesus put prayer in three arenas, in Luke 11 and Luke 18, approaching God as Father, Friend, and Judge. And approaching him as judge is when we step into a judicial system. See, we may not realize this, but prayer sometimes is in a judicial arena that Daniel 7 calls the courts of heaven. Okay, in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, though, this is simplified and use this. Here's what he said, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be on guard because your adversary, that's the Greek word antidikos, which means one who brings a lawsuit. That's what it means. In other words, the devil is bringing a legal case against you. And he said he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So watch, he can't devour your destiny and purpose. He can't stop you from getting it unless he has a legal case against you. And Peter is warning us. He's saying, be sober, be vigilant, be aware that the enemy is going to try to use something legal to stop you from getting the destiny God has. And I promise you, I guarantee you, that when you have a sense, a prophetic sense of your destiny, the enemy is going to stand up in a judicial realm and say, but wait, I have a case against them that will not let them qualify for that. You can find this in Luke 22, 31, where Peter, Jesus, we know that scripture where Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. And that literally means he has demanded you be put on trial. He is before the throne of heaven saying, I have a case against Peter that will not let him reach his destiny and change the world. So Jesus went into the courts of heaven as a man, and answered that case so Peter could have his destiny until Peter could learn how to do it for himself. See, what's resisting you from getting your destiny? There's something legal in the spirit realm that the enemy says, I have an accusation. According to Revelation 12, 10 and 11, that there's an accuser of the brethren. That's a Greek word, kategoros. There's an accuser of the brethren who is accusing us, bringing a case against us day and night before the throne of God. See, in other words, I don't stand and yell and scream at the devil and say, you will give me my... No, we don't do that. I say, Lord, I'm coming before your throne. And anything legally, anything in my life, anything in my bloodline that the enemy is using to fight against me, I'm asking, Lord, that your blood would speak for me. And the Lord spoke to me again this morning when I was praying. Because I teach that the blood of Jesus gives God the legal right to forgive us. But the Lord said to me, because it gives him the legal right to forgive us, the blood of Jesus also secures our future. See, the blood is speaking, securing our future. Hebrews 11, 24, the blood is speaking. The blood is speaking to secure your future. So what do? We come into an agreement. We say, Lord, thank you that the blood is speaking. Let every case against me now be silent so that which the enemy is using legally to resist my prophetic destiny can be silent and I can come into the fullness of what I was made for. You have to do that in prayer. Number two. Realize delays that you sense in your life may be about something legal and not just a timing issue. Now see, I've learned this one. Because I used to think, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have ever felt like something was about to happen and then it didn't? And then we're like, well, I was sure that I heard God say this. And it didn't happen. And then this is what I would do anyway. I would say, well, I guess it wasn't the timing of God. I guess it wasn't God. But now I've grown up a little bit and I realize, you know, that could have been the timing of God. It may be that the enemy discovered something legal that allowed him to create a delay for the purpose of creating hope deferred in my heart so I would give up on the promises that God had made for me. Because the enemy does this. But he finds something legal to create a delay. You say, let me give you a scripture. Daniel 7, verse 25 through 26 is speaking of what we would call the Antichrist or the Antichrist spirit. And it says that when he comes, in verse 25, he intends to change times and laws. So one of the purposes of the enemy is to change times and laws. And the word times there means an appointed time. In other words, he messes with timing. He disrupts timing. Let me give you for instance. In Genesis 15, God says to Abraham that his seed, which would be the nation of Israel, would be in captivity, basically in Egypt, for 400 years. But when they come out in Exodus 12, it says they came out in the 430th year. So the enemy was successful in delaying their exodus from Egypt by 30 years. Now we would say, well, that's not a big deal. Well, yeah. Yeah, if you were 30 and it's 60 before you get out, that's a big deal. Or you were 60 and should have came out, and you died before you got out. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. See, so, but the issue is, and I could take you through scripture where you see the enemy messing with timing. And if you read here in Daniel 7, it says that one of the things that he's going to do by delaying things is that he is going to wear the saints out. That's where hope deferred comes in. Where we just give up, we get weary because the promise never seems to materialize. The promise never seems to show up. Anybody ever had a promise that didn't show up, and maybe even we finally gave up on it because we thought, well, maybe that wasn't God. No, listen, it was God. Please hear this. Most likely, it was God. It was just that the enemy had something legal that allowed him to delay it from coming to pass. So how do I know that? Because in verse 26, it says, but the court was seated. And see, the court dealt with the legal issue that was being used to create a delay. So here's what I'm saying for 2018. There may have been things that were supposed to happen in your life maybe some years ago. I believe this about myself. But if I know how to step into the courts of heaven and deal with the legal issues, I can stop that delay and I can begin to come into what I was made for. That the breakthroughs can start coming. And God can heal the hope deferred and restore the years that have been eaten up. I love that because watch this. It doesn't mean he gives you back the years. It means he gives you back the productivity of the years that were lost. That's what it says in Joel 2, verse 25. See, God wants to do that. So why? We're contending for that which we were made for. Let me give you one more thing here. Number three, ask the Lord to reveal any legal thing the adversary might be using. Now, here's what I say. We know our own stuff in our own natural life, so just deal with that. Anything that we know we've compromised, because the enemy uses that. See, the enemy comes and tempts us to get us to do something that he then uses to accuse us with. Because he comes before the throne of God and he says, look, they're guilty of this. So deal with that stuff. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. Would you please let your blood speak for me? I'm sorry for what I've done. Let the blood cleanse me and wash me. Just deal with it. But watch, anything other than that, that we're not aware of, just say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, and here's what I tell people. They hear me teach on bloodline cleansings a lot and all that. I have to tell people this. Don't go on a witch hunt. It'll do you no good. Don't become a navel gazer. Here's what I say, Philippians 3:15, if I be any otherwise minded, God shall reveal this to me. In other words, if God doesn't reveal something to me, don't worry about it. But see, God revealed some things to me. Because I had delays in my life. I had people promising me things that would never come to pass. And this happened, listen, this happened in my life, not for just a few years, for decades. It was decades. You say, really? Yeah, I'm serious. For decades, people would make me promises, and then those words would not come to pass. And I finally got to the point I didn't believe anybody. And finally, one very important thing I thought was going to change everything was supposed to happen, and it didn't. And I said, Lord, I'm done. I'm just done. After 40 years of this, or 30 to 40 years, I'm just done. I've just had it. And at that moment, God was gracious and gave me a dream, like Pastor David talked about. He spoke to me in a dream. I saw my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather that I didn't know, that he, through negligence, had injured someone. In my dream, there was now a case against me in a court, that there was a verdict against me because of what my great-great-grandfather had done. I understood exactly what the Lord was saying when I had that dream. That my great, and the Lord said to me, through negligence, your great-great-grandfather stole the dreams of someone away. Therefore, the enemy has had a legal right to steal your dreams away. And he said, you need to repent for yourself, but also for the iniquity of your great-great-grandfather. And guess what happened? The moment I did that, everything began to break open. Opportunities that had been promised began to come. And I moved from a realm of that I'd been living in for a lot of years into a whole other dimension. Guess what? Even in this house, one of the pastors prophesied to me that I was about to step into new dimensions. It wasn't happening. I mean, I had prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of these things. But what happened? None of it was free to come to pass until I dealt with a legal issue in prayer before the Lord that moved, that took the enemy's rights away, that would now allow all that God has spoken over me to become reality. How many of you want your destiny for 2018? If you do, would you stand up with me? And I want to just pray a very quick, simple prayer for us. That God, and listen, a lot of what I've said, maybe you say, well, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Look, I wish my materials were here. We had a little mix-up. Not here, well, on our end. But you can go to roberthenderson.org, and we'll be glad to sell you any material you want. No, I am serious. It really helps you understand some of these principles. But you can take this and begin to come before the Lord. So I want to lead you. I feel led to do this. Would you just posture yourself and say these words? Say, Lord, as I stand before you, I come before your courts. I thank you that I have entrance before you by the blood of Jesus. That I have a right to stand in this place because of who Jesus is and what he has done. And Lord, I feel that I have not been able to come into the destiny I was made for. I now understand. I need to pray it into reality. So I'm asking you, Lord, that anything that's standing in my way, any legal thing against me before the courts of heaven, I'm asking, Lord, that the accuser's voice would be silenced, that your blood would speak for me, and every accusation, every handwriting of ordinance that would be against me, I say, according to your word, it is taken out of the way, having been nailed to Jesus' cross. And I thank you, Lord, that you helped me move into the destiny I was made for, and that 2018 is a year of receiving every good thing. It is a year of dreams fulfilled. That me and my family shall see the breakthroughs of God. Let me pray. I really sense this. Lord, there are people in this room that destinies for generations have been held up. That it's not just them, it's actually generations before them. And I'm asking before your courts right now that you would cause everything to be set in divine order and judgments would come that would cause that which has been lost even for generations to be restored. Even as Pastor David said, Lord, that there would be a restoring of the years that have been lost, of the years that have been eaten up by the devouring forces, that there shall be a restoring of the productivity of those years, not only in their life, but even in generations before them. Even in generations before them, Lord, they would come into the fullness of destiny and purpose. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you agree with that and believe that, say amen. Amen. Now give the Lord a good praise, would you? And I'll turn it back to Pastor.
Hallelujah. Let's tell Apostle Robert Henderson we appreciate that word from God. Come on. Be seated just for a moment. We're going to close the service here in just a few minutes. I want to say to our social media people, I want this message, please, to get out right away on every channel. Can we make sure that's going to get done? And I want the post to say, Pastor David is asking all of our people to listen to this video in all four cities. This is the word of the Lord for our church. And I'm not willing for anyone in our family to miss God's will for their life because they think it's just going to be automatic. We got to pray it through. This is the word of the Lord. It's very important. So let's get this out to everybody. Thank you, Robert. That is exactly the word of the Lord. Beautiful. going to have a chance to receive prayer at the end of the service. We're going to go back into worship just for a moment while we give. And then after that, we'll have some folks here that you'll see at the front. If you came today needing just a touch from God, maybe you're sick in your body, or you just need someone to pray with you, agree with you for the new year, something going on, something resisting you, opposing you, our folks are here to pray for you. That's very important to us, because it's not a waste of time to come to God's house. You hear the word and then you just need a little ministry. So that's going to be available for you once the service is closed, and you'll see our friends up here. Just a word or two about, before we give and go back into our worship, a word or two just about our January prayer time. I didn't get a chance to mention this to you, Robert, but you know, this year the Lord's been really speaking to me about rebuilding altars, restoring altars, and kind of the prayer life thing, and you know, January and all that. Just yesterday we were in our Saturday prayer meeting. Beautiful time. Join us for Saturday prayer. Doors open at 6. And I felt prompted to look to Google prayer in San Jose, because I was thinking to myself, is there an altar in San Jose? Is our city actually seeking the Lord as it ought to? I'm sure there's prayer meetings. I know, of course, we have prayer meetings, but is the Church of San Jose praying? I punched in to Google prayer San Jose, and the pages populated, page after page, not of Christian churches. There was one church that came up, and the rest of it were Muslim mosques. And the map, you know, that would populate to show points of prayer was all mosques. And I said, Lord, we have to rebuild the altar of prayer in our city. For us to do that, we got to rebuild it first in our own life, the altar of our heart. We don't have a physical altar. We don't need that. Jesus has taken away the need for a blood sacrifice, so we don't have to worry about an altar, but the altar is on our heart, and we've got to have God's fire on our heart and that place of brokenness and repentance. And I feel like a commission could just be on our church to pray for our city to come back to a place of real prayer. And so January is just a time of seeking the Lord, and I appreciate this word, because it's throwing fuel on this fire that God wants to light in us of prayer. Jesus said, my church shall be a house of what? Prayer. So jump into this prayer immersion that we have every January. Let the Lord, you know, relight the fire of your life. And as Robert spoke about the prophetic word, if you haven't had a prophetic word, seek the Lord for one. God will speak to you. I mean, I think God spoke to many of you here in this service. It doesn't mean somebody has to call you out, and that's a blessing, and that happens in our church. But if you're one of those that just, you haven't had a prophetic word, seek the Lord and say, God, I need to hear from you for my life. And God will speak. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I'm going to come back after a minute, after we give and after we worship for a little bit. I've got a blessing in mind. I'm going to give you a blessing for the new year. And I'm so grateful for this day. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for being an amazing church of prayer and for helping us with everything that's going on. Your giving is important. Thank you for your giving today and through all of our channels of giving, whether it's online or with the app, or if you're using a check or a credit card. Your tithe goes into one channel, and then as you designate something special for Apostle Robert, I would love to bless this man. We do bless him every year. I appreciate him getting on a plane and just coming. So if you've been touched in a way that causes you to want to express love back, I think you can do that right through your giving. So let's do that as well. And by the way, do we have Robert's website? Let's get that one up, because I want people to go get those books. I recommend this. Time goes so fast on Sundays, but the website is it Robert Henderson? All right, roberthenderson.org, and you can find his books on the courts of heaven. Tremendous stuff. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our offering. Bless, Lord, the word that's been planted into our hearts, and as we give, Lord, let your glory be released on people in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be back in just a minute. Speak a blessing on you for 2018, this new year. I have the authority and the ability to bless you because the blesser lives on the inside of me. And I believe in the blessing of the Lord. I bless your year. I speak prosperity and divine favor over you. I speak that you will be like Uzziah. That this year, as long as you seek the Lord, God will cause you to prosper in everything you do. I attach those verses that Robert Henderson gave prophetically. that as we seek the Lord, He will not withhold one good thing from us. I declare over you that this will be a year of more than enough from the God who is more than enough, that you will be healed, you will be filled with joy, your relationships will prosper, you will flourish. I speak a flourishing blessing over your life, body, soul, and spirit, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. If you receive it, amen, amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Hey, don't miss what's coming the rest of this month. Mary Alice Islip will be here Saturday for prayer at 6, and then at 9 o'clock, a special intercession seminar. It's going to be great. Then she'll be speaking, and on the month goes on. I love each and every one of you. If you need prayer, come join us here at the front. God bless you. You are dismissed.